You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Welcome back. Our next guest we will see in a couple of hours when his team takes on Texas A&M in women's softball. But you'll also see him after that in a brand new special. As we have talked about, you probably have seen the previews, but Bama SB will air tonight at 9 o'clock. Bama SB, and the coach of the national championship winning team that is featured in this is Patrick Murphy. Coach, great to have you back on the program. How are you?
Hey, Paul, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
It's our pleasure. I know this debuted over the weekend in Tuscaloosa, and it's a busy weekend when you're coaching and trying to be a movie premiere host. But before we even get to what is going to be on the screen, take us through when you heard about this project being bandied about and ultimately what it was like to be part of it.
It was unreal. We got a call from Lookalike Productions, the company that put it together, and said, hey, we're thinking about doing a SEC story on your program, and specifically the 2012 National Championship. And they said, is there anything that we can read or watch or see that would say, you know, there's a story here? And one of our players, Cassie Riley Bosha, a young lady from New York, wrote a book after she was done. It was called Finished It. And I said, there's a kid that wrote a book. Why don't you grab the book and then, you know, maybe you can see from that. So they bought the book. 2 weeks later, they called me and said, there's a story. We're going to do it. So in the fall of October of 22, they came for a week to Tuscaloosa. And almost everybody from that team came to town. They interviewed me in the basement of Coleman Coliseum for about 3 hours. The players, you know, some for three, some for two, some for one. They had Kent Gidley, who I'm sure you know, Paul.
Sure.
He's been a professor at Alabama for 38 years. Kent probably did more work than anybody on this film. Christopher England, he works for Crimson Tide Productions. He gave them tons and tons of video from, you know, the Bryant Museum that they had. And then, you know, when they were leaving campus that I can remember that Friday, we were all wondering, like, is this going to happen? And I said, what do you guys think? And they needed, you know, enough stuff to fill at least 48 minutes, which with commercials equals the hour. So we were praying that, you know, we could come up with 48 minutes worth of stuff. And one of the producers, as they were walking off the field, headed to the airport, I said, hey, what do you think? And she turned around and she said, we might have enough for a 3-part series. And we were all like, heck yeah. And so, and then we said, when's it going to be on? And this was, you know, October 22. And I was thinking she was going to say, you know, January. And she goes, oh, well, hopefully by spring of 24. And the first thing I thought, I was like, well, that is forever, 2 years. And now it seems like 2 months ago. And tonight's the night, and I can't wait for people to see it. It's really, really, really good.
And again, I don't want to, I was living in Alabama at the time, so I have a little local knowledge. So I won't ask you, I won't drag you through all of it, but this happened in 12. Everyone remembers in 11, the devastating tragedy, the tornado on April 27th. I know that's a part of it, but kind of take us back to this moment in time and so many other things were happening around not only Alabama and Tuscaloosa, but your program. So set the scene for us.
They have done such a good job of, you know, they kind of started with the senior class their freshman year and all the major events that happened throughout their 4 years. And obviously one of those events was the tornado. And we were at practice that day. And I told one of the managers, if there is a warning, come and get me. He was watching TV or had the TV on, and his job was kind of look inside the windows. Actually, he was a bullpen catcher, and you could see right inside the clubhouse. And, you know, the TV was on, and it was a big screen. And he comes running over, and he says, Murph, there's a tornado warning. So then everybody, got everybody out of the cage, off the field. And I had a friend from Mississippi, from Starkville, texted me and said, wherever you're at, take cover now. And this is somebody that I absolutely 100% trust. And we got in like two vehicles. We went over to the Coleman Coliseum, and that's where the storm shelter is. Went down two flights of stairs, which is really, really low. Nobody had ever been down there. And we're like, okay, we're going to be safe down here. And it tells a really good story of, you know, what happened. You know, I sent everybody home after that day because, you know, we had a choice of you could take your grades now because they weren't going to do finals. They immediately canceled school the rest of the year. And I said to everybody, does anybody want to go home? And everybody shot their hands up, and I said, okay, we got to do this. So then when I came back, we had one more series in the SEC. And lo and behold, my equipment manager at the time, Jason Nance, texted me and says, you guys can still win this. And we weren't even thinking of that. And we had to go to Ole Miss. We had to sweep them. And we swept them, and we won. It was about to be three straight SEC titles. So our motto and everybody else's motto was T-Cow never down. And I can still remember we put it on the top of the dugout in Oxford, Mississippi, in the athletic tape. And it just feels like yesterday.
Coach, you've had so many great players and so many close calls, but winning it all, it looks easy if you're a fan, but it's not. What is that experience like to literally be the last team standing when it's all over?
It's unreal. You know, they asked that question at the end of the premiere on Saturday night, and you know, the first thing comes to mind is you look around and you see all these incredible human beings that were with your team that, you know, we handpicked to be with us. And, you know, to this day, they're still best friends. It is unreal to see. You know, we had also had alumni weekend, and we had probably 160 people back. Everybody came to the movie. They came to the games. It is a big, big family. But to be the last one standing, you know, every year in every sport, right, there's only one team that hoists the trophy at the end. And there's a line in the movie where I say, you pretty much have to be abnormal to be that last team. You have to do things abnormal. You can't do the same old thing because somebody else is probably doing it better or somebody else is doing something different. So you truly have to be abnormal to win a championship. And that team was 100%. Everybody on the team played their role to perfection.
Sitting there with your players, your family, friends, I know you've alluded to it, but how would that experience rank in your life of things that have happened? It had to be surreal, didn't it?
It truly was. And I had several of the young ladies come up and say, this might be one of the best days of my life, Saturday night here in Tuscaloosa, just getting together, seeing that team again. We had almost 750 people at the Tuscaloosa Theater. Anybody that was a friend of Alabama softball, it just is surreal to relive it again. You know, we had Beth Mowens and Michelle Smith from ESPN were the hostesses and the moderators of the panel. Greg Burns sitting in the front row, Dr. Bell, Mrs. Bell, you know, front row, front and center. It just was one heck of a night and one I'll never, ever forget.
Well, the rest of the nation will be participating in a couple of hours. It's just a few hours away, Coach, and I know you have a game to get ready for, so you'll have bigger things on your mind, but I'm so glad to talk to you and to hear you appreciate with all your former players and team what had to be just a night that nobody will ever forget. Thank you so much, and all the very best.
Thank you. Hey, you're welcome anytime at the Rhodes House, Paul.
Well, thank you. The way things are going, I may be calling you any day, Coach. Thank you very, very much. Patrick Murphy joining us on a very special weekend for Alabama and the university softball team. We'll take a break. More to come right after this.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. And Swamp Dog is up next.
Mr. Feinbaum.
Hey, Swamp.
I got a song to sing to you. All right.
Go.
All right. Well, I used to wake the morning before the rooster crowed, searching for soda bottles to get myself some dough. Run them down to the corner, down to the country store. Cash them in and give my money to a man named Curtis Lowe. You remember that?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah. Well, I'm doing that for as a tribute today for Jackie Robinson. Jackie Robinson, the great Jackie Robinson. You know, he had the white curly hair. I don't know if you remember the next line in that song, but he had the white curly hair, and the man was he just broke the barriers, you know, for sports, baseball. Period.
Yeah, no, this is Jackie Robinson Day. That's a day that we all should pause and remember and commemorate. Thank you so much for the song and for the commemoration. Do you like the song? Yeah. American Idol will not be crowning him champion next year. Hal is up next. Good afternoon, Hal.
Good afternoon, Paul. I speak for a lot of people when I say we appreciate what you do every day and the manner in which you do it.
Yeah. Thanks so much.
I was on the football team in 1981 when Coach Sloan was our leader, and I just wanted to share a couple of anecdotes about that.
So would this Hal, would this have been at Ole Miss?
Yes. Okay. Yes, I'm sorry. Yes, Ole Miss. When you mentioned the story about the hole in one. He was mindful of the fact that Bear Bryant had once said, "You show me a head football coach who's a good golfer, and I'll show you a horse blank football coach."
I'd never heard that one. That's funny.
Oh yeah, I'll let you fill in the blank on that.
Yeah, but I got a couple of ideas. That's amazing.
Yeah, and he was mindful of that actually. I mean, Steve Sloan was an angelic human. He was an angel if there ever was one. And there was an incident we had on the field. It was an SEC game, and there was a skirmish. And in the team meeting on Monday, we had this theater-style room where we had team meetings. And he addressed the team, and he said that, and this was genuine. I mean, he meant this. He said that if a player on the other team makes a derogatory remark or a threatening remark or uses foul language with you, I want you to say to that player on the other team, say, "You must not do very well in school," and then walk off. But that was from his heart. I mean, that's the way he thought. I mean, he was so nice. It was almost like he was a little too nice to be a head football coach. But I just wanted to say
I haven't really talked to that many people. What was he like as a football coach to play for?
Soft. Never raised his voice at anybody, not a player, not a coach, nobody. He was just so soft with everything that he was gentle and kind and sweet and all of those things that you typically, you know, don't hear from a head football coach in a college, in an SEC program. He was just so.
And by the way, this wasn't someone who just had, I mean, this guy was the head coach of two SEC schools. A major Southwest Conference school at the time, and I mean, this guy had a lot of jobs. He wasn't just somebody that lucked into one job and never returned.
I can just say that in the entire time I was there, I never heard him raise his voice. Like, he never did. It was amazing.
That is the kind of person that is remarkable.
Yeah.
Well, I'm so glad you shared that with us, and I know that there are so many people around the sports world today who are mourning his passing.
I am one of them, and I thank you for sharing what you've shared about Coach Sloan, as well as, of course, the tribute to the people who were involved in the tragedy in Tuscaloosa.
Hal, thank you. Be well. Yeah. I appreciate you sharing your thoughts, and that's amazing, because you don't hear that. I mean, by the way, Alabama has a coach now. I'm not comparing directly to him, but much was made out of Kalen DeBoer saying that he doesn't curse. I can count the head football coaches that I've been around in my life that I'm not sure I can, other than Sloan, I don't know if I can get to three or four that, and by the way, I'm not making... It's just hard to be a coach and not curse. Would you agree?
It's hard to be human.
It's hard to be human. Not going to hear any cursing here, unless Bash calls back. Matt is next in Long Island. Hey, Matt, go right ahead.
How you doing? Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
I was just calling up. I'm a big Ohio State fan from New York, and had some highlights from the spring game. I wanted to get your thoughts on the Buckeyes. I know that they're head to head right now, and most of the sports books have them right with Georgia as the national champion favorites for this upcoming season. I really like their receiving core with their new freshman Jeremiah Smith out wide. I just wanted to see what you had to say.
Yeah,
thank
I watched
so
probably more of that game than almost any. I happened to be somewhere when it came on, and it was. It looked like an abundance of wealth. It was amazing to see it. Not much happened during the game other than one great player after another. It was really weird seeing Caleb Downs and Sayan and the wide receivers are out of this world, and that's after losing Marvin Harrison Jr. and a few more. Hey, thank you for calling. Really do appreciate it. But Ohio State, If Ohio State doesn't win the national championship this year, probably ought to have a pretty healthy conversation about what's going on up there. Speaking of football, we are going to return to visit an old friend of ours, Jeff Traylor, the great coach at UTSA. He was mentioned for one SEC job in particular last fall. We'll talk to him about the state of college football and his team when we come back.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back, and we had a chance about a year ago to talk to Jeff Traylor, who is at UTSA. He's had an amazing, he's left an amazing mark there. Even before he got there, he had some pretty prominent jobs, both at Texas and at Arkansas. But he's had a 12-win season, 11-win season, last year winning 9, and also having his name linked very prominently to the A&M job. And what everyone said was he is beloved by the Texas high school coaches. He would make a perfect fit. He's still at UTSA, by the way. Coach, great to have you back. I'm sure that was quite an experience being linked to one of the more prominent jobs in college football.
It's just part of what happens when you win a lot of ball games and you're from Texas and one of those jobs pops open, Paul.
You did have a little bit of a connection to Aggieland with some of your children, right?
I paid enough parking tickets to the university. The last those three children of mine, they could have given me something, Paul.
Well, I'm sure that will go down as a key to you being the next choice there at some point down the road. Not that you'd even want it, because you have a pretty good gig going here. Let me start with the elephant in the room that begins in a couple of hours, and that's the portal opening. Everybody makes a big deal about it. This is the spring portal, maybe not as critical, but how is something like that affect your program, and what eyes do you have on other players?
There's a couple of components to it, honestly. I mean, we can focus on the three kids we've lost during this time, but we can also focus on the 13 that we picked up that have been in our 2 deep for us and helped us win a lot of games and championships. The other part is just how to handle the situation. I thought we lost a couple of games last year, Paul, honestly, because I might have backed off a little bit just because I was so worried about losing kids in the portal. And I just talked to my team this year when we finished up and said, man, we're going to go back to really being the 2-1-0 triangle of toughness. And, you know, I'm not trying to run anybody off, Paul. I hope you hear me on that. But we were a lot tougher this year in spring. A little more old school. We played our spring game. We practiced every one of the practices, and we got after it. We got to go get a couple of games on the road that we just didn't get last year. That last loss to Tulane on the road left a real bitter taste in our mouth.
Now, that Tulane team was really good, as everyone knows. But you also played at Tennessee, so you got a chance to match up. You opened the season at Houston and barely lost that game. Those games are helpful, I know, from many different perspectives, but not that you don't play a good schedule, but when you play at a Houston or at a Tennessee, what does it do for you?
Well, that's exactly what we've talked about. In order to have the big seasons like we had the 2 years before, you got to go on the road and get some of those done. And I'm not there making fun of 9 wins and winning a bowl game. I know how hard that is to do in college football. But unfortunately, when you're at UTSA, you've got to win 11, 12 games to get the national attention. And we feel like our program is worthy of that. There was a stat that came out the other day, just this decade. We're the 7th winningest program in college football this year. First bowl win last year. We've only been playing football for 13 years, Paul. So we're really proud of what we've done. But we understand where we are in the limelight of all this. They're taking 12 teams to the playoff. You win the AAC, you got a real chance to go be one of those 12. And we really believe we're one of those teams that should be considered for that, Paul.
And I don't want to focus there because as a pundit, which I'm asked to be sometimes, it's so easy and I have, to go, why do we need schools? Why do we need leagues like this? And I think it is short selling when you come face to face with someone like you who has really gone out and played an aggressive schedule and has competed so well like you have done. But what is your answer to the critics when they say we need a couple more from the SEC or the Big Ten because they play such a competitive league? What, we don't need the two lanes of the world. We don't need any of that. How do you respond to that?
Well, the only way you can respond to it is by your play on the field. And we're going to University of Texas this year. We've got to play them on September the 14th. We've got to go on the road to play a Texas State team, go on the road to play an Army team. You got to go win and show up in those kind of ball games. I know it's crazy. And with NIL and transfer portal, it's gotten a little bit harder for schools our size to do that anymore. But it's also what makes the March Madness tournament so incredible, the Cinderella story. It only takes one of us to pull it off, and everybody will be right back on board very quickly, Paul.
I want to address something I alluded to, because I kept hearing, and I realize you've got quite a reputation out there as a player and as a coach, but it wasn't a rap. It was a compliment when people said, you know, he's so embedded with those high school coaches, which can be a real challenge for some coaches when they parachute in from wherever they're coming from. Let's talk a little bit about what you've encountered with that group and how important it is to accomplish what you have to do.
Well, I've been in a lot of battles with them. I've coached on a lot of staffs with them. And even though they might get upset that one of their players isn't playing for me or the relationships that we have, because we've been in the same organization for 25 years together, those conversations can be very real. And maybe they are upset that a transfer portal kid came in and beat out one of their players. I said, no, wait a minute, man. We've been in the same staff rooms together. We've had kids move in. Those kids jumped up over our players. You're going to play the best ones. And once I just have a real conversation with them, or I'm just honest with them, we're all cut from the same cloth there in Texas. We're very proud of that in our high school organization. And they've all been very understanding. It doesn't mean they all agree with some of the decisions I've made, Paul, but I know them well enough. We're having some sweet tea down the Riverwalk. They forgive me.
You also played in five state championship games and winning a good many of those. So I think that does help you earn the respect. But in terms of recruiting, how critical, because Texas has probably the greatest wealth of high school talent of any state in the country. How does your experience in that system, the relationships both then and now, how important is that to what you're trying to do and quite frankly, everyone else that comes into that state?
Well, because NIL has become so prevalent, you know, you've got to have some money. Your collectors have got to keep stepping up here. But we know we're not going to have the amount of money, Paul, to outbid for some of these players, right? So relationships now are more important than ever. Like I mentioned when we got on the show, those 13 kids that we got from the transfer portal, they're usually kids that are bounce back kids that we might not have got on the first time. They might have chased the money the first time, but the second time around, they want a great experience. They want to be coached well. They want to win and watch ball games. They want to win championships. And San Antonio is a wonderful town. So even though we've lost three to Power Five schools that could pay them a whole lot more than us, we've also won a lot of ball games with 13 other kids in the portal that we're not paying them near as much as those three schools we lost our players to.
Coach, it's so easy to take a side on NIL and the portal. You live it every day and will continue to, especially over these next couple of weeks. What do you think the net result has been? The two different issues, both NIL and the portal, but they always get merged together. As you've experienced it firsthand, I don't know, you've been at all these other major schools as an assistant. You know what it's like to recruit for a Texas or an Arkansas or an SMU or somebody. You also know what it's like to try to hold on to some of your top players when they come in.
Yeah, I'm just going to stay positive on it. I mean, you know, I'm a Texas high school football coach at heart, Paul. The development, being with a kid for 4 to 5 years, I've got a kid named Jamal Liggins we recruited out of high school. It's going to be my Mike linebacker now for his fifth straight year. You know, those relationships are what we all want and cling for because that's what we're used to doing. We love the human part of this, but that day's just come and gone. So there's got to be a way you can kind of merge both things. We've got some kids from the transfer portal, but pretty much, Paul, I've known them all forever anyway. Those are kids I met when they were in the 7th, 8th grade. Maybe they didn't choose it the first time. You get them the second time. So I just think it's kind of a way of the new world. And but in my heart, you know, I still like having kids that have been here for a long time. But even the three kids I lost, I still love them. I'm rooting for them. And the kind of money they're getting paid, Paul, I know they got to go, man. That's good. That's good coin.
Yeah, I mean, I know you have to, you know, wish them well, but you know, considering your trajectory, you know, being in high school football for so long, even at a very high level. I mean, the stadium's named after you. But it still is it mind-boggling to think about what these guys are making?
Oh yeah, it is, and I'm happy for them. It should have been happening for a long time, Paul. You and I both know that. But we're the seventh largest city in the country. We might not have one or two people that'll give a bunch, but if everybody just give a little, we'll be able to play with everybody. Because you just, our relationships with our kids are so good. They've won so many games, Paul. We just, you got to get a little money in your pocket right now or you're not going to get them.
You know what it's like on both sides. You mentioned the Texas game. I was just out there a couple of weeks ago, and it's just pretty amazing what Sark has been able to do there, and now they're entering the SEC. You go in there now. You've done this before. I mentioned Tennessee. What is that experience like when you go into a game that you really have no business winning, but you have been in these games, and you know your team is capable of, however, you know, whatever cliche you want to offer, that's exactly what you face in a situation like that.
We played on there a year before last, and what Sark has done there, and you know, the AD there, Del Conte, deserves a lot of that credit too. But that atmosphere there, I coached there. It was totally different when we were there a year before last. It's as deafening as any stadium in the country. You know, we played with them for a little while, and their depth eventually wore us out. Sark's done a really good job of identifying the talent and developing it, and they've recruited it. So much respect for him and what he's done. I've always studied Sark. I think he's as good a play call there is in the country, and we steal a lot of his stuff over here.
Coach, finally, those experiences, it's easy, again, I'll talk about the pundits, but you know, we kind of snicker, although I think anybody that knows your background would know not to, but we've seen upsets. We had the coach on from South Alabama a couple weeks ago, who's now at Alabama. He's pulled off some of these upsets. A lot of people have. I realize you have to catch a school, not so much focus on Texas, but you have to catch these guys on the right day. But how do you convince your team that you can go into one of these mammoth stadiums of 105,000 like Knoxville or Texas or anywhere and win these games?
Well, we've done it before. That helps. I mean, going up to Illinois, a Big Ten team, and pulling that off, those kind of things help. We've been close. You know, last year was the first one where, you know, Tennessee got on us early, but we rallied to 31-17, and we dropped the interception, and would have been a touchdown. I know coulda, woulda, shoulda. We've just been there before. Right, you're right. We shouldn't do it, but that ball bounces funny, and you just need a couple of breaks. And you never know what can happen. And we know that. We've been beaten by teams we were better than before. And we've beaten teams that are better than us. So you just hope you hang in there long enough, the ball bounces correctly, and you never know.
Coach Jeff Traylor, whose reputation is simply spectacular inside college football circles. Coach, appreciate your time. And we are fans, and we will continue to pull for you. Thanks so much for dropping by.
Well, I learned from Bash a while ago. All I got to do is say this is the greatest show there is. So, and I'm a fan then. So I think it's the greatest show I've listened to for years, Paul. Thank you. God bless. Birds up.
Coach, I think you're the best coach in college football, too, now that Nick Saban is retired. Hey, thank you.
Thanks, Bash.
Appreciate it. A Bash fan in San Antonio. That might be an all-time first. That a truly great coach in college football has called out Bash, who I think is the best caller on this show. We better quit complimenting everybody. We'll never get to the bottom of it. We'll be right back.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good!
The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hey, welcome back. A really great conversation with Coach Traylor. Those are always really interesting, talking to coaches who you can easily take for granted, but are essential and very, very successful. Will is in North Carolina. Hey, Will.
Yeah, I thought the interview with Jeff there was very interesting. You know who didn't go hard this weekend was Ole Miss. I mean, they were having laser tag out on the field and making balloon animals and hot dog eating contests. What do you think about that, Paul?
Well, I personally find hot dog eating contests disgusting, but I realize it sells. So, I've met Joey Chestnut before. Nothing. Yeah. What did we used to say back in the day? Nothing to write home about.
No, I mean, I know who wasn't doing hot dog eating contests, and that's Kirby Smart. So, I mean,
no, Kirby knows one thing: win. We don't need sideshows.
No, I didn't. I mean, I understand it's spring and stuff, but I mean, what's next? Balloon animals and cotton candy on the field. I mean,
well, it comes under whatever Lane Kiffin does. It's just automatically genius. So, and Lane Kiffin, by the way, Lane Kiffin's having Joey Chestnut. Oh, wow. Isn't that brilliant? I mean, for $500, you can have Joey Chestnut come to your kid's birthday party.
Well, it sounded like UTSA was in full pads. And
that is interesting because in the Ohio State game, I only watched a couple of plays. It didn't look like they were even tackling. And yeah. I've heard that from other people around the SEC as well, because you don't want to get hurt. But I appreciate what he said. He said they need to be tougher, and they were. Thanks so much for the call. Dominic is in Pittsburgh.
Hey, Paul, how are you doing?
Hey, buddy.
Did you get a chance to watch that Alabama spring game over the weekend?
I did see some of it, but I'm most interested in what you thought.
Well, I don't want to get too excited, but Jeremy Bernard, man, he looked good. And those three running backs, Dan Miller, Richard Young, and Justice Haynes, also played really well. That could be like our three-headed monster in the backfield.
I don't think anybody can stop you this year.
No. And how about the Masters? Scottie Scheffler wins again. And I was in a pool, and I had Homa winning. And that would have got me a lot of money, but Scotty, he pulled away again.
I'm just curious, Dominic, because we all have different views of what a lot of money is. What's a lot of money to you?
A lot of money, I'd say probably around $1,000 is a
bunch of money. That's a lot
of
money to me, too. So, what about you? Yeah.
Yeah, and DeBoer, man, he's still on a tear with recruiting.
Oh, yeah.
He got that linebacker out of Georgia. And did you hear about that wide receiver, Lockyer Brooks, who I actually saw play in person? He was so electrifying, and he was actually originally offered from Georgia his freshman year.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, Dominic, what kind of record do you predict for Alabama?
What kind of record do I predict? You know, Paul. Undefeated, baby, and we're winning that natty. So hopefully the Bama boys can do better in the portal this time around. And as always, roll damn tide, Paul. See you later, buddy.
AC is up next.
Mr. Feinbaum, how you feeling, sir? Thank you so much for taking my call.
Thank you.
Hey, absolutely. Mr. Feinbaum, let me ask you a question. You know, your boy toy, Jeff in Columbus, he asked you all those questions. He's like, why don't you have this person on? Why don't you have that person on? And he says you should ask this guest some tough questions. How come you don't ask Jeff any tough questions, Mr. Feinbaum? It's always softball after softball. Why is that?
Well, I see. I try to be nice to the callers, even when we don't like them.
I mean, nobody said you have to like them, but you got to ask them tough questions. Why don't you start off with Ohio State? What they have done last 3 years, other than losing to Michigan? Nobody knows. You should, come on, Mr. Feinbaum. You got to toughen up a little bit with this caller.
Okay, I see. So, help me out here. What type of question should I ask?
Jeff in Columbus?
Yeah.
Why is he yelling and screaming when it's not even necessary? I think that's a starter. And what happened to Ohio State last 3 years? And how come he doesn't call the show every day? How come he doesn't call the show maybe 10 times a day? I mean, he has a backup phone number, right? This is how you start off, Mr. Feinbaum. You always show me tough love, but you don't show him tough love. Why is that?
Hey, see, I wish I had a better answer for you, but I'm simply going to have to go back to school because AC has called out my hosting ability. Anyway, we mentioned some very sad news earlier in the program. The loss of Steve Sloan, the backup to Joe Namath at Alabama. He later went on to coach at Vanderbilt as a head coach and Ole Miss before becoming the athletic director at the University of Alabama in 1987, dead at 79. Our deepest condolences to his many, many friends and especially his family.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.